Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, January 10th. And today happens to be the anniversary for Brother and Sister Kallenbaugh, Brother Andy and Sister Natalie Kallenbaugh, missionaries in Ethan, South Dakota, sent out from the Island Ford Baptist Church here in Madisonville. Today's their wedding anniversary, and so we want to wish them a happy anniversary and going to be praying that God bless them in a special way today. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to thank the Lord for a good night in the house of God last night. We did have a number of people that was out sick. A lot of people in our church got the flu. Seems like it's going around. A couple of different strands of it. Matter of fact, I'm not feeling real well myself today. I've got a sore throat and some headache and body aches there with that, but I don't feel down with it. I'm not running a fever, anything like that. But just keep me in your prayers, if you will. Also want to especially pray for Brother Clarence Durall. Brother Durall, I found out this morning, is in the hospital in Owensboro, and he's got some fluid in his lungs and stuff as that. We want to pray that God touch him and help him. Pray for the revival meeting going on at his home church there at Pleasant View Baptist Church, where Brother Dale Massengale is the good pastor, and Brother Johnny Jones is preaching the revival meeting this week, and so we're praying for that meeting and asking God to give them a special time. Also pray for Brother George Woodard, that the Lord would touch him, help him be able to be released from the hospital. Then some of my wife's family, one of her cousins, had a death in the family, and want to pray for them there in North Carolina. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you and thank you for your mercy and blessings in my life. I thank you, Lord, for my wife and my family. Lord, I thank you for the good blessings of God on my life. I don't know how to thank you enough, but Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God last night and enjoyed the service there, studying in the book of Philippians. Father, I want to thank you for those that were able to be here. I pray for those that weren't. Lord, would you touch them and meet their needs? Lord, I do pray that you would help them to feel better and, Lord, accomplish your will. Touch me in my throat and, Lord, help me to serve you and please you. Lord, I do pray for Brother Durall there in the hospital, Brother Woodard in the hospital. Help these men to heal and be well. Help the revival meeting, Lord, I pray, over there at Pleasant View. Bless in that meeting. And, Lord, you just get the glory. Please revive us. I pray for our nation, how our nation needs a touch from God and how we need revival. And so, Father, I pray you'd stir in that. Lord, I do pray you'd help the Kallenbaughs out in Ethan, South Dakota. Bless them today on their anniversary. And, Father, protect them and help the church plant there. And, Lord, I pray, use the message now. I pray, dear God, that you'd convict some sinner of their sin, point them to Christ, and bring them to salvation. Father, I pray that you'd help the saints to be stirred and strengthened by the word of God. We'll thank you in Jesus' lovely name we ask it. Amen and amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us. We're going to go to a song by the Shepherd family and then the message that we're playing today and tomorrow on the broadcast. First of all, we've got the Shepherd family singing a good a cappella song. This is just the guys in the Shepherd family singing Just a Little Talk with Jesus. And I hope that song was a blessing to your heart. We're going to get ready to look in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 1. We're going to begin today the third message from verse number 1. This message we'll cover today and tomorrow, and we'll be finished with verse number 1 when we finish up this week. So today's starting a new message. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 1. I started preaching on this a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to go back and look at it again. Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. My plan is just look through the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. I preached two messages out of the first half of verse number 1, and I just want to mention to you a little bit about that. He said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come
to pass. Now that's what I preached on a Sunday morning, Sunday night. And we saw the revelation, or I call it the unveiling of the Son of God. And then in the latter part of that, we talked about the unveiling of the plan of God. Not only the person, the Son of God, but the plan of God. Those things which must shortly come to pass. I've titled these messages, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, because that's what the word revelation or apocalypse actually means. We've taken the word apocalypse to mean destruction, to mean the end in a big boom and a big collapse. So that's not the word. Apocalypse means unveiling, clearly seeing what is there. And as Brother Hall prayed in his prayer, thank God, God revealed the Son of God to us. Amen. We'd still be lost and on our way to hell if God hadn't revealed the Son of God to us. Amen. And I'm glad for that. I'll say more about that as we go on and look into the Scriptures. But this book of Revelation is an often neglected book by a majority of religious people. I'm afraid some people look at it just as a curiosity. It's just something as a, you know, something to make headlines, something to, you know, to maybe to excite somebody's superstition or somebody's idea of the mysterious. And they look at this book as a mysterious book and a difficult to understand book. And part of that is because of the symbolism and because of the space that's covered. He deals with those things that have happened, those things which are happening, and those things which will one day come to be. And so there's a large span of time that's dealt with in that. But when we read this book, we ought to be able to read it and understand that there is a special blessing, he said in verse number 3, to those that would read these words. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now this book of the Revelation is, it declares the consummation of God's plan. I mean, in other words, it tells us that God has set in order things and that's how it's going to be. Amen. I do appreciate what Brother Woodard said about God not having opinions. Opinions change. And God is unchanging. Amen. And God's not going to change what He said. He's not going to change what He does. Matter of fact, all the plans of men and the changes in our nation and the changes across our world are not changing God's plan. They're only hastening unto what God said would be. Amen. God said evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And they're doing that in a major scale. But this book declares the consummation of God's plan. This book declares the collapse of Satan's kingdom. Amen. And Satan's domain. This book declares the conquering of world empires. This book declares the celebration of the kingdom of our Lord that will reign for 1,000 years from the throne of David. Amen. It's no wonder that the saints are excited about the book of Revelation. And it's no wonder that Satan is against the book of Revelation and would try to dissuade us from reading this book, because it tells us that we're on the winning side and it reminds us that he is a defeated foe. Amen. Now, the opening phrase of this chapter declares, I believe, the character of the entire book. And that phrase is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book sets Christ before us in a clearer picture than any other. Amen. It shows Him completely unveiled and clearly seen as the great potentate that He is. Amen. We see Him in this book in three primary roles. And I'll just drop them and by way of introduction and move on. We see Him resplendent in His high priestly garments. We see Him robed in His kingly majesty. And we see Him revealed in His eternal glory. Amen. You see, some commentators say that the book of Revelation is just a hodgepodge mixture of Jewish myths and the Greek folklore. It is just a hodgepodge of things and ideas that people have had about the end times, and then that the heathen's myths come together and are collected into a marvelous story. But can I tell you, all the heathen myths, the only truth they have is the truth that they have gleaned from the Word of God and from God's plan. And all their myths, if they do come, any of that comes to be, it'll be because it was in the plan of God all along. Amen. This book is more than a hodgepodge of religious symbols. This book is more than Jewish folklore. It's more than heathen myths collected. It is the revelation in dramatic form of the consummation and climax of the plan of God for the planet Earth. Amen. Amen. This book is a gathering together of all God's promises. This book is a gathering together of all God's dealings with the planet Earth. And it's going to show us how it all comes to be and God's plan for mankind. Amen. Now here we have the authentic and accurate account of the present and future things. Amen. I remember Brother Roger Tooley, missionary in England. Brother Tooley said there were some gypsies came through. He went down where the gypsies were and was passing out gospel tracts. And he handed this lady a gospel tract who was a fortune teller, so to speak. That's what she said. He handed her a gospel tract and he said, "Ma'am, I'd like to tell you about the future." She said, "Are you a palm reader too?" He said, "No, ma'am, I'm a Bible reader." Amen. Amen. I read another little tale where a preacher came upon a woman that came to be a fortune teller. And she said, "If you'll put some silver in my hand," she said, "I'll tell you your future." He said, "Can you really tell me where I'll be this time next year?" She said, "I sure can." He said, "Can you really tell me what I'll be doing this time tomorrow?" She said, "I sure can." He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll give you double the silver if you can just tell me what I did this time yesterday." She declined because he knew what he did yesterday and she had no idea. Amen. Well, this crowd that claims to be fortune tellers are fakes, phonies, and frauds. Amen. But I'm telling you, we've got a book that knows the future. Amen. We've got a God that holds the world in His hand. He holds the future in His hand. God transcends all time. He is the great I Am. He's the God that is, that was, and that evermore shall be. Amen. He inhabits all time. He is a God of eternity. Amen. And He knows the future. And He's given us the authentic and accurate account of the present and the past and future things right here in this book. By the way, notice this is a revelation unto His servants. Verse number 1. A revelation unto His servants. Are you a servant of God? If so, then God has revealed to you and has written this for you to understand and to know. Amen. This very title of the book, Revelation, shows us the lie about this book being a mystery and about this book being very secretive. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is the author of the book, and if He chose the name Revelation when actually it does not reveal but rather conceals, then He chose the wrong name. Amen. This book does not conceal and it does not muddy up sometimes our opinions, sometimes our reading into, and sometimes we make more of symbolism sometimes when God meant it to be just exactly taken like it was. Amen. I read one place where a man said those locusts coming up out of the bottomless pit was really helicopters. Now he's worked a long way to turn a locust into a helicopter. I'm telling you, when God said what it was, God knew what it was. If He'd wanted to say black helicopter, He could have said black helicopter. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But He didn't. All right. Well, in our previous look, we dealt with verse number 1 there, the person of Christ unveiled and the purpose of God unveiled. Now tonight or today, I've got 4 thoughts I want to give you out of these first 3 verses. First of all, I want you to notice the receiving of the revelation. And it's right here at the last part of verse number 1 because I've already dealt with the first part down to where that shall shortly come to pass. He said, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. John the apostle wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistles of John. And he also wrote the book of Revelation. So 5 books that John wrote. And in John's writings, particularly in the Gospel of John, he loved the word sign or signify. Signify means signify. That's actually what it means. God takes a sign and He proves Himself by that sign. And John deals with the miracles, and those miracles signified that Jesus was what He claimed to be, that He was the very Son of God, that He was more than man. And John's using that phrase. And so the book of Revelation is full of signs. It's full of symbols, but it is to prove that God knows what He's talking about and His plan will come to pass as He said it would. And so John said he sent that message and he signified that message by his angel unto his servant John. Here's what I want you to notice. John confesses that this prophecy is not his. This is not the revelation of Saint John the Divine. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ unto John that he might give it to the churches. Amen. And as you read through the book, you'll see it over and over that John says, I saw, or I heard, or it was told to him. And so John received that message from the Lord. It was not his own prophecy. Some men preach on prophecy to exalt themselves. Some men want to be known as a prophecy preacher. They want to be known as a man that knows the secrets and the hidden things of the Bible. I'm going to tell you, there are some hidden things that belong to God. Amen. And there's really no reason for us to try to tear them apart and try to learn what they are. We just accept them as they are. Amen. I mentioned to Brother Hall the other day, we were talking, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and I'd read a book about Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon. It was by Ian Murray, and it was Spurgeon versus hyper-Calvinism. And Spurgeon made this comment about how do we reconcile if God wills that there's a world, and there was a world, but yet God's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. God's willing that men be saved, and yet they're not saved. He said, how can we put that together? He said, I can't understand it all, but he said, there's some pills that's good for you, but he said they're not good to chew on. Amen. He said some people are foolish enough to chew those pills when the best thing to do is just swallow it. Amen. Take it in whole. And I'm telling you, I don't understand all about the plan of God, but I can accept it. I don't have to understand it. God's higher than I am. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Amen. If I could put him in a test tube, he'd be pretty small, but he's a big God. They don't fit in our test tubes. Our job is just to receive what He said and believe what He said. Amen. He didn't say we had to understand it. He said we had to receive it. Amen. And so the message was sent to John. And John confesses it's not his message, but rather a message that Christ gave to him. And he announces that the revelation was sent from God. Amen. If you will, turn to the book of Romans chapter number 10. And I'm going to read several verses there that are very familiar to you, no doubt, in this context. I want you to think about it in the context. But I want to talk about how we ought to rejoice in the fact that God saw fit to send us a message. Amen. That God saw fit to send us a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. A revelation of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you were on your way to hell and you were content on your way to hell? You were enjoying your sin. You were satisfied the way you was going. No thoughts of heaven. No thoughts of hell. No thoughts of judgment. No thoughts of God. No thoughts of doing wrong. You was just content where you was going. But something happened. Something got in your way. Something revealed to you that you was going wrong. Something revealed to you that there was a better way. Amen. And that was the mercy of God. It was the grace of God. Amen. That put a stoplight in your path. Amen. That put a yield sign in your path and told you you're headed the wrong direction. That was a message sent from God. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 8. But what saith it? This message from God. What saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it don't stop there. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. That phrase right there in verse number 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? I want to ask you, who is doing the sending in that verse? Amen. Sometimes we look at that as a missionary. Appreciate Brother White and the missionary work that he's doing and has done. Amen. And I appreciate how God uses missionaries even in this day. But we think about that missionary being sent either by his church or by a mission board or by an organization. We think he's sent to do a work. But I want to tell you, every message of God, if it reaches you, it must be sent from God. Not just from a preacher. Not just from a study. Not just from a book. It's got to be sent from God. Amen. Men and women can sit and listen to sermons all day long and never be helped until they finally hear the preaching. Amen. There's something about not just hearing with the ear. Amen. There's something about it getting into the heart. It's something about the heart being open and the good seed falling in good soil. Amen. There's something about God taking that work and sowing the seed into their heart. Amen. Listen, I was in church since I was 8 days old. My mom and daddy got saved when I was 8 days old. Took me to a revival meeting. They got saved. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I wasn't saved until I was 8 years old. By the way, tomorrow will be 41 years ago I got in. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I was 8 years old and God pricked my heart. But I'm going to tell you, that wasn't the first time God had dealt with me. But there's numbers of times I sat under preaching. I heard the truth of God. I saw other people get saved. I saw people get right with God, but I didn't get right with God until God rung my bell. Amen. Amen. There's something about God, the Holy Spirit, making the preaching effectual to work in the heart of the sinner. Amen.
Amen. Well, there is just something about the Holy Ghost taking the preaching and applying it to the heart, to the life of the listener. I'm glad the Holy Spirit still does that, even in this day. I pray that He'll do it today, and that it'll make an effect in your life as well as mine.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast.
Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be continuing and completing this message that we started today.
Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day, and God bless you.